You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Ben Rosales of Silver Screen and Roll and of Twitter fame. Honestly, when somebody says something dumb to him on Twitter, I get so much enjoyment out of watching him drag them through the mud because I can't do that to the same extent anymore. But Ben, thanks for hopping on with us. And how you been, dude?
I've been great. Thank you for asking. Work has unfortunately kept me from my usual level of writing productivity, but as we enter the summer and we enter draft season in earnest, hopefully I'll get back on that. And yes, I am studiously avoiding writing responsibilities so I can drag people. No, not really, but it is fun.
As he alluded to, he is really good with the draft stuff. And so eventually, and as we get deeper into the offseason, I'm going to bring him back on. We were already talking about some of the names that the Lakers have worked out, but that's not what this show is going to be about. We're going to talk about Julius Randle season in review. And just like we did with Pete last show, we're going to start by talking about what we expected from Julius Randle going into the season. Second segment's going to be what we saw from Julius Randle in the actual season. Third segment's going to be about what we hope to see from him moving forward, starting with, you know, hopefully potentially being a Laker, remaining a Laker. As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Ben on Twitter at, is it still, I always want to say it's Bro Sales, which is like, it's like, I'm surprised nobody ever stepped up. Some like douche didn't stepped up to you and ask if they could buy your at from you. Because they wanted to make like a Barstool like purchase kind of thing, like where the girls go shopping, you know.
But at B Rosales 12, yes,
yep, there it is. Better than Bro Sales 12. All right, so let's hop into this. I'll let you. I've talked for way too long already. What before this season got going? What were you hoping to see from Julius Randle? Just in the individual construct and in the team construct.
So I think the biggest thing with Randle is that going into this year, we didn't really know what his NBA niche was. Like, he was kind of a guy set adrift, especially in the modern NBA. He had no range. His finishing was interesting, but he wasn't that good on defense. He was a liability, and his physical tools were very impressive. His ability to push the break, he started to flash a lot more passing skill this past season. So I mean, there were little inklings, and then especially he upped his mid-range shooting. So I mean, there were little inklings to where you would see the development paths going forth, but it was a big question of going into restricted free agency. How much are you really, really willing to pony up for a guy whose intrigue was solely tools? I mean, his physical traits, how athletic he was, but without a lot of the production or the, especially as we've seen in the playoffs as late, without kind of any modern niche in which he fit of any sort. And then in the team concept, the big thing there was twofold. One, on offense, as oft discussed with Randle, much more so prior to this year, you needed such a specific fit. You needed a floor spacing five who opened up the floor for him and would allow him to go to work. And then on defense, you saw that he had quick feet, and then Luke used him as a switching big last year, but you wanted him to kind of develop there and offer there something besides rebounding. So I guess the to answer both questions, I think to boil it down, the big thing we wanted to see from Randle was him developing, which he's, to be fair, he's done every year of his career, and kind of showing where his NBA niche was. And I think that was definitely the most important thing, especially with questions of his free agency over his head.
Yeah, I think the expectations I had for Randle were the most all over the place than it was really across the entire Lakers roster, including the rookies that were coming in, right? Like, right. It was pretty much, I wanted to start to see what kind of player, what type of archetype, you know, he might fill in the NBA, like you just said, and he did that, right? And we'll get to ways that he met or exceeded or whatever expectations here in a second. But really, for Randle, what stuck out to me the most when I was thinking about ways or things that I wanted to see from him was really just I want to see how he fits. And in that sense, I think he showed that. We're going to take a quick second to pay some bills, and then when we come back, we'll get into some of how he actually met or exceeded expectations, and whether we see a role for him moving forward. So hang on for a second. So we'll start in a very general sense. Would you say Julius Randle met, exceeded, or fell short of your expectations that you laid out a second ago?
Randle, I think, more than any other player on the roster, with the exception of Kuzma, well, pre-Summer League Kuzma at any rate, I think just thoroughly destroyed expectations, because he went entirely from a guy with no NBA niche to a guy who filled one of the most important NBA niches in a big who can switch and stay in front of any player on the floor and not look out of place, which, as we've seen in the playoffs, is so critical with how modern offenses are structured, with how much pick and roll play is present, with how ruthlessly teams exploit poor defensive matchups. And we saw throughout the year Randle switch onto smaller guards, even like the John Wall types, and stick with them. Randle switch onto guys like wings like Kevin Durant and stick with them. And then perhaps most impressively, and kind of related to how his body changed, Randle just stymie guys in the post. Mm-hmm. Like, I think all year, the only two guys where I thought really could say they took it to him was DeMarcus Cousins, who's just a ridiculous combination of size, strength and skill, and Joel Embiid, who's much of the same kind of thing, perhaps with a little more fluidity than Boogie Cousins. But even in the case of Embiid, like the second matchup, Randle got the better of him, and then I think it was a big reason why the Lakers won there. And I think just the so he was able to fill pretty much every role asked of him defensively. I think his effort waned and up and down throughout the season, I think as a consequence of minutes. But I think earlier in the year, where he was a more was coming up the bench, was a more situational player, I think, and he wasn't pouting, I think, for justified reasons. But, well, I'll digress in that respect. We don't need to go down the route. But I think he really kind of dialed it in, was really active off ball. He at some one point, his block rate was really impressive relative to what it was previously. And I think as a guy who just really he went into the offseason and transformed his body, and that you really saw how it affects his defense. And I think as Pete Laker Film Room has adequately shown in his recent video on offense, where just he developed and just such a phenomenal finisher, just because of the extra boost enabled him to go past guys, over guys, around guys, and just the effect of that on his finishing is just tremendous. Because you saw the true shooting jump is nearly at 60, for a guy with no range, who has to get his own so often, who had no spacing, is such a tremendous accomplishment.
Yeah, that's the thing that really you really hit on the nail, what he's done defensively. And then offensively, to be able to be, I think he finished the year in the top five of points production out of the pick and roll as a roller.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
When you consider he's not the kind of guy who can catch a lob like a DeAndre Jordan. He can't hit threes, so like a Dirk can step out on a pick and pop and make threes, and that can kind of inflate that production to an extent. Randall just like he developed a skill set in the course of a single offseason that, again, I just don't think anybody could have seen coming. Even the most optimistic of Randall fans would have thought that he didn't have this in him. And the other thing too that you kind of alluded to was that the coaching staff kind of screwed him in the beginning of the year. You know, like they not starting, and then one of the things that they said early on in the year was that they wanted Lonzo Ball to, you know, whoever got the rebound needed to outlet it to Lonzo Ball as soon as possible. And I remember, you know, this is going to shock people, but I had an emotional response to finding out that was going to be a thing, and that they were going to minimize one of Julius Randle's most effective abilities on a basketball court. And he overcame all of that. He overcame the doubts of role and niche in the NBA in a general sense, and then specifically in the team construct. He overcame just being kind of overlooked, and it reached points last year where we were wondering, hey, is something else going on behind the scenes? And then you come to find out that there were some secrets and rumbles behind the scenes that Magic and Randall didn't hit it off in the beginning, and that played a role in however things played out early on. And fortunately for everybody, cooler heads prevailed. They've figured out places for Randall to succeed. Randall himself kind of stopped moping, and really to his credit, he just kind of said, look, the past is the past, and I do have to perform here. And really that showed, like, this guy is worth investing in moving forward. I want to, while we're still in the segment regarding his production last year, and you talked about one of the most important roles, just I'm putting you on the spot, but can you name me other guys who can switch onto a ball handler like Steph or Wall or LeBron or Durant, or guard, be able to guard the post the way he did against DeMarcus or Embiid, be able to grab a rebound in some situations, take it coast to coast and either facilitate or just finish as well as he did throughout the year? Like this is going to sound like I'm leading you into a question, leading you into an answer here, but really what it comes down to for me is I just can't think of very many guys in the NBA who are capable of everything that he showed he was capable of this year. And that was pretty special to watch take place.
Right. I mean, I think the list is pretty short. I mean, I suppose relative to kind of the peaks that Randall showed, effort notwithstanding, especially as the year wound down, which I don't necessarily hold that strongly against him. But yeah, we're dealing with the Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons did a bit of that this season, LeBron when he cares, which during the regular season was few and far between,
right.
as we saw. But it's really because you really think about the type of guy that requires, you need an unusually quick and strong athlete, and not a lot of athletes are, especially in the NBA, are both of those things in excess. And some guys compensate by being really long, like Anthony Davis compensates by having a really ridiculous wingspan, at his position. But Randall, I mean, I am ashamed to write, to admit, I wrote a piece, echoing, Jonathan, Charks.
Yep.
Charks, who I otherwise respect quite a lot, who wrote questioning like were Randall's arms too short? In short, the great Julius Randall wingspan debate. And then I wrote, like, well, we really should look at Noel Vonleh, who, like, shot threes and defended the rim and was long and could play either front court spot. And I think Noel Vonleh is a I don't recall where he is right now. I think he's with the Bulls.
Portland, isn't he?
No, I think he was traded to the Bulls, if I recall correctly. And I don't know whether they're going to pick up his qualifying offer or not. That's actually a good question.
He's been pretty Noah Von May, if I was on.
Yeah, but it shows you he's leveraged the physical traits that he has, his strength and his quickness, and he's made it work. And it's kind of really impressive that from a guy who had a lot of justified gripes about him at that end in college, and he really, like, put in the work, which I think is a consistent theme with this team and the young guys in general. They really put in the work and managed to overcome the doubts and reach a point where they managed to translate that work into the game. And I think with Randall was kind of the paramount example of that among the team for a guy who just so drastically changed where he was from start of the year to end of the year. And I mean, let's be completely fair. He still has significant flaws and he still has things he can work on. And I would also caution, he's still 23 and there's still a lot of development to come, hopefully. But again, I think just going to use your example of his pick and roll finishing, let's remember who his pick and roll partners were. Yeah. There were Lonzo Ball, who can't score. Who, God, I hope he can score at some point. I'll digress. Brandon Ingram, who had a lot of problems with his in between game and like finding pick and roll guys, and a motley crew of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who was not a great pick and roll guy.
Tyler Ennis, who was just not good.
Yeah, Tyler. So it shows you that he made it work largely in spite of that. And in spite of, I think the Lakers ended the year like 29th in 3-point percentage, which is, awful. And especially for the style that they wanted. And he still went up and like finished over, I think it was over 70% of his shots at the rim, which is just absolutely nuts for a guy who just, like, you knew what direction he was going, you knew what he was going to do, and he just, but once he caught the ball in space, it was just over. You literally couldn't do anything. He would go, around you, over you, and it's a testament to kind of the ridiculous combination of speed and strength that he presents.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to get into what we hope to see from him moving forward. Ben did say that there are some issues in his game, some holes in his game, and he is young enough that there's plenty of time to plug those holes, and we'll get to how he might be able to do that and hopefully where he'll be doing that here in a second. So first and foremost, I think, Ben, you and I are in complete agreement here that, Paul George and LeBron James notwithstanding, keeping Julius Randle as a Laker is a top two or three priority.
Amen.
And I mean, I will cop to being, a Julius Standle, I guess, as some people have coined the phrase out there. But what it really comes down to is, as we kind of talked to in the last segment, this guy broke his leg in 14 minutes into his NBA career, came back from that and improved. Well, it's hard to say if he improved from his rookie to sophomore year because of how little we saw in his sophomore year, but had a decent showing in his sophomore year, right? And then improved again the following year, and has taken substantial leaps at every opportunity he possibly can. And, as you kind of talked about with the young core in general, they all seem willing to work. They all seem willing to put the time in. We have seen clips from all these guys putting in their time in the offseason. And for Randall, it's, you know, when you reach this point, when you're talking about legitimately serious money, it becomes a question of, are you comfortable making an investment in this guy? And what it comes down to for me is yes. Yes, 100% yes. When you consider the role that he plays and how much he's improved, he is absolutely worth that investment.
Absolutely. No, I mean, and I think it's especially important to be cognizant of that in light of what the market looks like this summer. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the Lakers are one of very few teams who have significant cap space. And I think, as has been historically shown, restricted free agents are kind of the redheaded stepchildren mm-hmm. of free agency. No one gives them offers until the big dogs are off the board. And to be fair, it might be idiosyncratic this summer because some teams could believe that they're just completely out of the hunt for the big free agents immediately, because most of them are rebuilding squads. But by and large, I would think that the regular trends of free agency hold, and that no one wants to tie up their cap space for 3 days while stuff goes on. And there's a lot of unpredictable stuff that goes on that you as a GM don't want to forego just to give a big offer sheet to restricted free agent that you would give later anyways. So the Lakers very well could price Randall into a very reasonable point where, let's say, it's kind of the low eight figures or so, something between, I would say, anything below his cap hold of $12 million is a little unrealistic, but not completely implausible.
Yeah, I'd say anywhere from 12 to 15 or so.
Yeah, so let's ballpark it right there, which is a very good price. Mm-hmm. I think in the modern NBA, it's only $4 to $7 million more than the full mid-level exception. And you're locking your guy in for his age 23 through age 27 season, which is his prime, or even entering into his prime. So I think you're getting his best years. He's a guy who's always improved every stop of his career. And I also think for the direction of where the team is going, you're really hoping, I mean, free agents notwithstanding, that Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma, combination thereof, are going to turn into kind of the offensive leaders and initiators that will make the Lakers offense hum. And I think there's optimism in that respect in varying regards to those guys, but I'm sure people will get to that at some point in the future. But regardless, what those guys need is a really good pick and roll partner, a really good finisher at the rim, and a guy who can switch everything on defense and kind of fit that general ethos that Luke Walton wants to implement. It's something that he implemented from brought in from Golden State, where the preference is on ball screens that you switch everything if at all possible, and you minimize the number of matchup problems that ensue. And for to do that, someone like Randall, who can switch on to any of the five positions, is really important. So I think in that respect, especially if you can lock him up at a good price, he's the guy you want. He's shown that he has the work ethic, that he's not going to, that this isn't going to be a contract year phenomenon. And I think barring the very specific scenario of having both LeBron James and Paul George, and even then, I think you move heaven and earth to try to get Luol Deng off. So because Randall becomes even more valuable in that circumstance. So you, I would almost certainly, past inking Paul George as soon as possible, have Randall as the top priority in free agency.
What kinds of things, or we'll wrap up on this. Let's take for granted that he is a Laker. What kinds of things would you say are realistically to hope that he improves, right? Like, people keep on saying, well, hopefully he develops a three-point shot. I don't think that's quite in the cards with Randall. But are there things that seem realistic enough that he can improve on, that he reaches that stratosphere of player that it looks like he might be capable of reaching?
Right. So I think one of the big things, especially on defense, is consistency. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that was hard between changing roles. I think the Lakers had the injury worries late in the season, so it was really taxing him with minutes. And I think that played that ultimately had an effect on him. But you would want him game from game really bringing it on that end, being active on his off-ball rotations, especially early this past season. He was a guy who was erasing things on the weak side. He was really getting into guys on the perimeter. And that's the type of guy you want to see a lot more often. But it's hard to see that guy when he has to handle a lot more responsibility offensively beyond getting the ball in space and finishing, which he's really good at. But in order for that to happen, you would ideally have other guys who kind of can step into that offensive void. So you hope Brandon Ingram continues to develop. You hope Lonzo Ball continues to develop. And you hope, to a lesser extent, Kyle Kuzma continues to develop, especially as a pick-and-roll ball handler, which is really impressive later in the season, but I digress. And then adding someone like Paul George only makes that easier because you're diverting more of the offensive attention away. And, of course, if LeBron James comes, then Randall becomes absolutely maximized because then he just has to finish and play good D. But I do think there is reason for optimism on the shot. I think it's something he didn't particularly focus on this past offseason in lieu of improving his finishing, improving his quickness. He's been a 70% free throw shooter throughout his career. So, I mean, I don't think he's incapable there. He does need, like, he has a weird twist when, like, he contorts his body when he shoots. It's kind of a really weird sort of thing. I'm not sure why he feels the need to do that. But I do think there have been weirder things, especially bigs developing shots out of the blue, than thinking Randall can't develop into a low 30s three-point shooter. So I do think that's not entirely implausible. So I would paint three primary areas of improvement. The first is consistency on D, which is the most important part. It would also be nice if he returned to kind of the dominant rebounder levels of kind of his rookie year. Although, to be fair, he kind of also did that because he was cheating on D and not really paying attention and pulling a mini Westbrook. But
yeah,
regardless,
the Rodman, of like, I'm not going to challenge because I need to get this board.
Exactly. So, but you would want him to kind of assert himself in that respect. The second thing would be the shot, because that opens up so many things. I think, as has been kind of widely discussed, the most effective lineups in the NBA offensively are so-called five-out lineups where everyone can shoot. And I think, and that's not strictly required, but in an ideal world, Randall's enough of a shooter that defenses have to sort of respect him out there, and that creates so many matchup problems when guys are switching off screens and things like that, and you get him on a smaller player to take advantage of. And that's something you can ruthlessly exploit in the playoffs. And then the third thing that we didn't quite discuss is that he kept it up this year. It wasn't quite as much as this past year, where he kind of really developed as a passer, or he really was trying to make reads. And
this was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, he was inconsistent for the large part. He would make kind of really difficult passes all the time, but it was something you wanted him to kind of keep the swivel head up and kind of. Because he would always get doubles, and you always want to look for cutters. And I think he didn't quite do as much in that respect this season, because much more of his possessions terminated with him finishing, because he was just really good at it. But I think ideally in the future, you would have him mastering the ability to drive and kick. You would have him knowing those reads in the post, which he did get better at, like the pet play that they ran with he and Ingram to get Ingram a lob. I think that's just it's just a manifestation of the idea that Randall demanding attention means he should be on lookout for cutters. He should be on the lookout for guys running off screens. And that should be something that you definitely take advantage of. So, yeah, to boil it down, but I think it's a minor concern as versus the consistency on D, the shooting. But it is something that the passing is something that hopefully he incorporates into whatever offseason work plan he has moving forward.
Yeah, just to kind of to put the icing on that stuff is, one of the things that you notice with Randle, and really with all basketball players, for some reason people only really notice it with left-handed players, the one-handed dominance kind of stuff. But
yeah.
But with Randle, a lot of his reads are made a lot more quickly, and they tend to be more efficient when he has the ball in his left hand. He's dribbling to his left, and the pass that he should be making is to his left, right?
Right.
And kind of what I'd like to see more from him this year is to be able to utilize his peripherals and be able to – I don't think he'll ever be able to throw like a right-handed skip pass or a right-handed pocket pass or anything like that.
Right.
But can he, while dribbling to his left, make the right kind of read and sling the ball using his left hand to that right corner, to that opposite corner over there? Because that tends to be often – that tends to be open more than the direction that he's already dribbling in, because the defense is leaning to the direction that he's dribbling in, right? So
right.
It's a minor thing, and it's something that and I like the point that you made earlier regarding his shooting, is that like you have to prioritize things over the course of your career to improve on. And you know, this last year he really focused on reimagining and reconfiguring his body to be more quick and be stronger, and the muscles that he had to make those more efficient. And now that he kind of has that figured out, well, now he can work on some smaller tweaks of his game. And like you talked about, it'll be shooting. Maybe it'll be this in terms of his ability to facilitate. Those are the kinds of things. And this is where it gets really exciting for a basketball player, is we've seen those first two steps with Randle. And now we get to see, all right, well, how high does this ceiling potentially go to? And it's really up to him at this point. And that's not all players reach there. You know, as we talked yep. about Noah Vonleh earlier, and he's still kind of sort of on first base in terms of development. And he's jumped around because of that. He's hopped around the league because of that. Whereas like Randle, he's taken those first two steps, and he's come through in flying colors, and that's relative to expectations and just really in general. He has taken the biggest strides of anybody in his draft class, I would say, and it makes you really excited for what he winds up doing moving forward. To just hope that that's as a Laker.
Indeed.
All right. Well, that was Julius Randle's season in review and looking ahead to what he might bring to the table. Ben, thank you very much for hopping on with us. I'll give you a minute or two. You've already alluded to why Julius Randle will probably wind up a Laker, or why those things will how that can come to pass. You're working on a piece for Silver Screen and Roll. Is there anything that you left out there? Anything that you want to tease that you might put in that article?
So the central premise of the piece is that we've heard a lot of discussion this off season on how the Lakers are going to leverage their space for the so-called two max situation for LeBron James and Paul George. And it's rightfully so, because that's any formation of a super team deserves scrutiny, especially when it's your own team. So you definitely want to pay as much attention to that as is humanly possible. But the Lakers are going to enter this offseason with a lot of cap space, and there's a lot of different things they can do with it. So the premise of the piece is kind of exploring whether they want to look at any of the restricted free agents this offseason. So whether that's, especially since a lot of them are younger, they fit the kind of athleticism and the general mantra that the Lakers are building. So it can especially nice since you can get a guy who can grow with the current core, and yeah, you fit the same ethos. So that's that piece is kind of a think piece, thinking about whether they should explore some of those opportunities. And there's one guy in particular who I think really stood out in that respect. And a big reason he works is because they can keep Randle. And Randle, I mean, we went through this entire discussion, we didn't really talk about Randle as the small ball five, which is really a big reason he was successful this season. But I think it's also something that's vastly increased his utility, since you no longer you can play another shooter beside him. That doesn't have to be a strict stretch five. And although they did have that in Brook Lopez, and as we saw, that helped him tremendously. But we also was able to work with someone like Kyle Kuzma, and by proxy, he can work with similarly structured forwards who can also space the floor. So that's my that's my tease. Although I think I think I spoiled it already on Twitter at some point, but I guess that's an invitation for people to come read my feed. Anyways,
there you go. Either way, find Ben's stuff on Twitter at brosales12. You can find his stuff at Silver Screen and Roll. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can find the show anywhere you can find podcasts. This was a lot of fun. Please, Lakers, please, if for whatever reason Magic just put this in his rotation for any random day, please, Magic, make it work so that Julius Randle can remain a Laker moving forward. There's also, like, as much as we have talked about, like, the practical reasons for why Julius Randle, why it makes sense for him to stick around, but also when you have seen somebody and you've invested so much time in watching somebody grow, it would be a bummer to just, like, all right, well, that growth happened, we'll see how you do in Orlando, you know, like that would be a serious bummer, or in Dallas or whatever it would be. That would be a serious bummer to see him have to grow somewhere else. So thanks, Ben, for hopping on with us, and we'll bring you back on to talk about draft stuff moving forward.
That sounds great. Looking forward to it. And I'll remind, if Magic's listening, that Julius Randle is the only player on the current team who has played with Kobe Bryant.
Oh, you got to keep him, Magic. That's it.
Yeah. So he's the last link to our previous era. And I think, to Anthony's point, he's also a guy who kind of symbolized this current rebuild. He was the first guy we really got excited for and really got a chance to grow with. And I think that's really something that fans have become attached to, and you really want to hopefully see the culmination of that here in a Lakers uniform.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. We'll bring Pete back on, and I'm thinking we'll talk about the Lakers Slender Man. We'll see if we can get into that guy. Have a good one, everybody.